Graham Gill recalled the facilities on 390.
You wouldn't believe it was Radio 390 on the forts. We had our own sports room and gymnasium with a table tennis and with these rings you can swing around on, you know, and doing things like that. We had a television room completely carpeted. We had a very good dining room. Jeff was our cook at the time. I can't think of his other name, but we had excellent English Australian meals, you know, roast beef and Yorkshire pud for Sunday dinner.
The studios were quite nice. There were two Garrard 301s, a little microphone which looked rather like a pencil. Oh, there were two Spotmasters, which was something I hadn't expected out there. There was a ferrograph. We used to play the Dr. John tapes on, or Dr. Paul, or whatever his name was. So on the BBC, they had the Flying Doctor, didn't they? And they had Dr. Paul out there, who was the Sinking Doctor. I do remember in the studio, we used to give the on-hour interval signal with... this is real 30s radio. On the panel, there was a xylophone, and to give the station's interval signal, which was three tones on this xylophone, one actually picked up a hammer, and we used to have the most enormous fun with this. And I think it was Edward Cole on whom we performed the trick of removing the xylophone, and he was hitting the panel three times, which was quite fun, or turning the xylophone back to front. Get the interval signal back to front. But at that time I had an agent. She insisted that all her clients should be paid reasonable, equitable money. I can't remember exactly what it was. It must have been about £35 a week, which these days is nothing. But then it was quite good, especially when you didn't have to pay for anything while you were out there.
I'll say one thing about Radio 390. When you worked, your salary was always paid on time.
You have enjoyed a lunchtime edition of From Me to You, and don't forget our evening programme tonight at 7:30. And now until I greet you again later in the day, this is Graham Gill bidding you good afternoon.
I can remember some pretty extreme weather, as you can imagine, in the Thames Estuary. I can remember having an electric blanket fully working in my bed, you know, and it was a very cold day, you just climb into bed and have the blanket on.
They were spoiled. It was the only station of all the pirates to get a signal into the City of London. In fact, the BBC didn't get a signal into the City of London on their medium wave frequencies. To drive around in a car anywhere in the City of London, you always got 390. And the beauty of it was, as well on most transistor radios of the day, if you just changed the wave change switch from medium to long wave, if you were listening to the BBC on long wave, and you clicked a medium wave, you were instantly on 390.
We had very broken down offices in Pimlico in a condemned building, and I can remember that the Financial Times put a photograph of a black couch that I had there and said, you know, this is where this guy, me, lives and works and so on. And they put a picture alongside it of my desk covered with snow, because the roof had a hole in it, and when it snowed, which it did in that particular first winter, the snow used to lay on my desk in the morning before I realised a piece of plastic would help. So they were pretty primitive, but a great deal of gusto. You know, everybody enjoyed it.
For full details of your favourite programmes and announcers on this and every independent radio station, make sure you get your copy of Time and Tide, the British news magazine. Time and Tide will report the news as it happens and show how the battle is going to make independent radio permanent. So order Time and Tide from your newsagent now for exclusive news, inside news, business news and radio news. Order Time and Tide today. Remember, you can't be with it without it. At last, the exciting Zippo cigarette lighter is now available in Great Britain for only 37 and 6, and that includes postage, packing and handling. The Zippo is the one zip windproof lighter in a delightful finish. It's completely windproof, and if you're not entirely satisfied, your money is refunded in full. That's Zippo, the most popular windproof lighter in the world. And so, for a free illustrated brochure without obligation, send a stamped address envelope now to Zippo Lighters, Radio 390, 35A, Bessborough Place, London, Southwest 1. That's Zippo Lighters, Radio 390, 35A, Bessborough Place, London, Southwest 1. And remember, there's a lifetime guarantee with every Zippo.
We're now in a position to renew our fabulous nylon stocking offer. At a 30% saving, you can buy guaranteed non-run stockings. No more baggy knees, girls, because these stockings are so well knitted that they mold to fit your leg. They come in sizes 8.5 to 11, in light, medium and dark shades, and they're made by one of Britain's leading hosiery manufacturers. The special price to you is 12 and 6 for 3 pairs, or 24 shillings for 6 pairs. Should they ladder, they'll be replaced free of charge. So remember, send your size and shade with a postal order or cheque to Stocking Offer, Radio 390, 35A Bessborough Place, London, Southwest 1.
I think our very first advertiser was Rivali.
Are you as choosy about music as I am? If you are, you probably like to choose other things carefully too. And that means this week's Rivali Car Contest is just made for you. Yes, this week's winner can choose. Now listen carefully. Either a Jaguar 3.4 automatic plus a £1,000 mink coat, or a new style Vauxhall Cresta, an automatic Mini Miner, a mink and £75, or an automatic Morris 1100, a completely new Riley Kestrel, a mink and £120, or a new big engine Singer Vogue, an automatic Austin Mini, a mink and £135. Wow, that's a prize and a half. Get your entry form from this week's Rivali. It's just sixpence.
Our second advertiser was News of the World. Beecham's were on. We launched Mother's Pride Bread. And in fact, that was placed with us by JWT, Walter Thompson. And they were the first people who really cared about matching an ad to an audience. They did 5 launch ads for Mother's Pride Bread, and they were so good that ladies would ring us up and say, somebody told me there were 5 Mother's Pride ads, and I've only heard 3. Can you tell me when the other 2 are coming up? I've heard the one that goes something or other. And, you know, you can't have better than that.
You're tuned to Radio 390 at the time, just 19 minutes before 2.
Silexine emulsion, silexine gloss. Get it from the factory at half the cost. Put it on your paintbrush, then it can be seen. Wonderful, marvelous silexine.
Wonderful, long-lasting silexine paint comes to you direct from the factory at half the usual cost. Right now, for details and a free colour brochure to Silexine Paint, Radio 390, 35A Bessborough Place, London, SW1. That's Silexine Paint, Radio 390, 35A Bessborough Place, London, SW1.
And to the haunting strains of the Ballet Giselle, we bring you the Mary Simone Hour. And a very good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome from Jack McLaughlin. Well, first of all, many, many happy returns of the day, if today is your birthday. And it's time now to introduce you to Mary Simone.
This is Mary Simone, and I'd like to be your friend and your personal astrologer. A line from you, and I know that I can help you get many of the things you want. Let me send you a beautiful horoscope, absolutely free. All you need do is send me your full name, full address, and full birth date. Full birth date, please. Day, month, and year of birth. Otherwise, I can't help you. As soon as I get the facts about you, I will send you your own planet parade, the most beautiful horoscope you have ever had, absolutely free. Write to me personally, Marie, M-A-R-I-E, Radio 390, 37 Oxford Street, London, West 1.
Well, it seems that some of you can't quite identify Mary Simone's accent. Well, it's French. Mary was born in French Canada, and French, in fact, is her native language, which accounts for her accent, which I think is very nice indeed. And of course, it is Mary herself who speaks to you daily, every morning between 9:15 and 10:15 on Radio 390. So for those people, and the many people indeed who have been writing in, that's the story behind the accent. And it's on now with the music. Radio 390 presents Masters of the Organ. And a very good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this morning's 20 minutes of organ music from your host, Jack McLaughlin.
This is Radio 390, closing down. We trust that you've enjoyed our programs today, and that you'll join us again tomorrow. We'll be back on the air at 6:30 in the morning with our first program of the day, Morning Melody. Till then, we wish you a peaceful night and a pleasant and happy day tomorrow. So from us all here on Radio 390, good night, everyone. Good night.
Alan West remembers some of 390's staff.
There was Edward Cole, who used to do his knitting in front of the microphone. Paul Beresford, Peter James, was the programme director at that time. Tony Windsor's brother, Tony or Withers, his proper name, John Withers, was the general manager. Ted Albury wasn't even in charge of the station then. It was a guy, a solicitor from Folkestone called David Lay, who was the managing director of the company, Estuary Radio.
And the day's music from the shows was presented by David Sinclair. You're in tune with your British family station, Radio 390. The time is 12 midday.
Frozen food values mean big savings for you this week at your Safeway supermarket. Just listen to these grand offers. Bird's Eye frozen peas, the £1 handy-packed bag for just 2 shillings. Save sixpence. Bird's Eye beef burgers, the 3-3-pack for just 2 and 9 at Safeway. Findus fish fingers, the 10-ounce pack for 2 and 3, a saving of sixpence. Findus frozen Florida orange juice, the 2 and 3 tin for just 1 and 9. Bird's Eye chicken pie, the 3 and 8 pie, is just 3 shillings. Save at Safeway. It's probably the biggest frozen food sale ever held in England. Safeway, England's finest food store.
Jack McLaughlin, he'd close the station down and push the national anthem cartridge on the air, and then just left it, you know, because they're supposed to switch off by themselves. And he went upstairs to get himself something to eat. There was a fault with the cartridge machine, and the national anthem, I think, must have played through the whole evening till about 7 in the morning when the station opened up again.
You're tuned to Radio 390. The time is 2 o'clock.
Hello. Welcome to Sunday Storytime. This week we've a strange story from the Bible for you. It's called The Case of the Unwanted Body. Did you recognize the story? Yes, it's the story of the Good Samaritan told by Jesus in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10.
New transmitting and studio equipment had been installed on 390, greatly improving its output. An FM service was planned as well as a northern station, which Ted Albury recalls.
There were two things that I wanted to do that I was very, very keen on doing. One was to have one off in the Irish Channel to be 390 North, to cover that side of the country. We covered up to Hull and perhaps into Coventry and down to Bournemouth. But the more important thing to me was that I wanted off the money that we made on 390 to run a children's radio station with no advertising at all, so that nobody could say, you know, your daddy's nasty if he doesn't buy you Smarties. I feel that no matter how careful people try to be in advertising things for children, there is going to be an element of exploitation in that. And I thought I could show that it was possible to run a children's radio station all day long.
This is Radio 390, broadcasting on 388.1 metres in the medium wave band, Britain's most powerful commercial radio station.
Radio 390's other services were never to be. On the 24th of November 1966, the station's owners were taken to court.
I would like you to stand by for an important announcement by Ted Albury, Managing Director of Radio 390. Here is an announcement by Ted Albury.
Hello there. This is Ted Albury speaking. I'm making this recording on the evening of the 23rd of November, the day before I go to court at Canterbury. If the Canterbury magistrates come down on our side, it will be destroyed and you'll never hear it. But if we lose, it is almost certain that we shall be allowed to appeal. However, it is possible that it might be decided by the court that we should cease broadcasting pending the appeal being heard. You know that I shall do everything possible to come back on the air as quickly as possible. I am advised that it might take 3 to 4 weeks for the appeal to be heard. And if we won the appeal, we should start broadcasting again immediately. However, if we lost the appeal, it would mean that we should have to cease broadcasting from the fort. I should expect to make some alternative arrangements. I am, of course, very sad to be making this broadcast. Your newspaper will, I am sure, keep you informed. I've never been so happy as while I've been running Radio 390. Your kindness and warmth towards us has given me great pleasure. I can't believe that this is the end, but for now, all I can say is what I always say. Take care of yourselves. Good night. And God bless.
That announcement by Ted Albury will be repeated in just a few minutes.
The one at Canterbury was perfectly straightforward, dealt with by the magistrates perfectly properly, I thought. The one in the High Court was interesting because, of course, it was not a unanimous verdict. Lord Justice Salmon, as he now is, disagreed and said no, he found no offence committed at all. Lord Widgery sort of balanced between the two extremes, and I think went on the basis that, you know, obviously the government wanted us out, so if you were going to overbalance one way or another, it'd better overbalance for the establishment, which is totally understandable. I said that I was always prepared to do something unauthorised, but was never prepared to do anything that was illegal. So I arranged that as soon as that verdict was given, the station closed down, and I'd already pre-recorded a closing down message. The whole of that case depended upon whether we were in or out of territorial waters, and an arcane piece of law was dragged up by the government, which said that if a sandbank dried out for 24 hours on any day in the year, you can measure another 3 miles from there, because it had already been proved that we were outside the 3 mile limit. But when you measured another 3 miles on, obviously they got us. And charts were brought to show that they were corrected to the appropriate dates and so on, and that this sandbank was shown as drying out. I then had a telephone call from one of Her Majesty's hydrographers, who shall be nameless, but a very important one, who said, "You realise you've been conned, don't you?" And I said, "No, I didn't." And he said, "Well, when it says on a chart that a chart has been corrected to such and such a date, it doesn't mean that it's been corrected. All it means is that any corrections that have been done are not later than that date. So a chart can have an awful lot of errors on it because sandbanks move." Having felt I was conned, I started us up again and said, "Okay, you know, we'll fight the second round." I did a little introductory message to say we're back on the air, and this is what I always intended playing if we went back on the air, and I played Frankie Sinatra a second time around, which I think amused the press.
After this, further action was taken by the post office. As a result, the station was forced to close on the 28th of July, 1967.
To an injunction imposed in the High Court today at the request of the Post Office, Radio 390 is now required to cease broadcasting. We should like to express our immense appreciation to the millions of listeners who have always supported us during the past 2 years and through our many struggles to stay on the air. It is very disappointing to all of us that we aren't able to continue to provide you with the programs you enjoy, but perhaps one day we'll be allowed to do so again. Until then, on behalf of Mr. Lai, our London office, the relief staff and everybody here, I should like to say goodbye.
I think now I feel more strongly about what radio should be like in this country than I felt right at the beginning of that, or even at the end of that, because I know more now about it. We've seen what the BBC's answer to the pirates were. We've seen what the IBA's answer to the pirates were. And they ain't the answers. They didn't even hear the questions.